334 WGCL, Glass in the Afternoon. Thank you for being with us the third Monday of July. And we get caught up with our great friend, who is a very busy, busy man, the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. He's also the treasurer on the CIB, getting the Convention Center project up and running. It is my great friend, Eric Spoonmore. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, Glass. Great to be with you.
It's always great to hear your voice, even when it's 90 degrees and roasting hot outside. So we ask everybody to be smart if you're outside working and dealing with all that. 91 feels like a 102. The special weather statements, the heat advisories until 8 o'clock tonight. So just a few more hours. Then we're going to have some rain in and out on Tuesday. Temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. And then Wednesday, thunderstorms, but temperatures below average. So a couple hot ones for a few cool ones. Well, you know, it's heating up, all the stuff you've been doing. That's why we had to get you back on here, my man. July's been busy for you.
Yeah, it has been. We've had a lot going on with the chamber, of course, and a lot going on with the CIB. We had a meeting last week with the Capital Improvement Board and had a couple of big decisions that we made on the Convention Center expansion project. We got a contract signed with our architect, which is Smith Associates, that the city had been working with in the early days of the expansion conversations. And so we formalized all that with the Capital Improvement Board now, and then also signed a contract with our construction manager, which is a well-known group to folks here in Bloomington, Weddle Brothers. And you know, they've got extensive experience working with large-scale projects like this, especially in Bloomington. And so we're delighted to be working with both of those groups and having formalized those agreements.
Well, and getting those agreements to the table, again, a huge step. Also getting the money to pay for all these wonderful things. No hiccups or headaches there?
You know, it's been pretty smooth sailing. The food and beverage tax is the funding mechanism that is paying for the expansion. And so the state of Indiana, the legislature allowed Monroe County to have a food and beverage tax, and that was formally passed back in 2017, I guess?
I'd have to go back into my scrolls and see.
Right. Yeah, it was, and that was done by the county council. And, you know, the whole idea back then was we were going to construct a new convention center expansion to accommodate all of the missed opportunities that we were having with large conferences and conventions during the weekdays. We do very well in Bloomington with visitors and tourism on the weekends, thanks to a lot of the things that IU has going on, but it's really been that weekday tourism that we've been missing out on, and so our existing convention center just has not been adequate to accommodate the size of groups that had been looking here. And so this was an opportunity that the state gave us expressly to construct a new expansion to the convention center to provide for some of those economic development opportunities that we want here. And of course, that'll generate more tax dollars that can be used to enhance the quality of life in Bloomington and Monroe County. And so that was what the goal was. We have had some struggles in being able to kind of all get on the same page between the city government and county government. Of course, we had COVID happen in 2020 that kind of derailed some of the progress that had been achieved up to that point. And then just within the last year or so, the last 8 months really, with the formation of the Capital Improvement Board, we've seen very rapid momentum on this project. And so, yeah, we've got the money in place. Well, we've got the funding stream in place. The taxes generated about $20 million in revenue since it first passed in 2016. Now, of course, that money can't be spent on anything else but the Convention Center expansion, so it's just kind of been sitting there. And what will need to be done next is the city will have to issue a bond on that revenue stream, and we'll use the existing money that's sitting there already and combine that with the proceeds from the bond. It'll probably be a 20-year bond is what we're thinking. And then we can take all of those funds and begin to pay the construction manager and all the contractors that will be working to construct the new facility that we hope to have open by the end of 2026 or the very early part of 2027. So that's how close we are to all of this, and it's very exciting.
Oh, I agree 100%. And before we get into what the money can buy, just a couple tax questions. The innkeeper's tax that we use now and the food and beverage tax, how much of that, I think the entire food and beverage tax goes to the convention center stuff, or there's not a percentage saved for this, that, or anything else. Is that the same thing with the innkeeper's tax? Does that account for the management of it? Do I have that right?
Right. So, you know, the food and beverage tax is collected and distributed to county government and city government based on where the money was collected and what jurisdiction. So 90% of the restaurants that are in Monroe County are essentially located within the city of Bloomington boundaries. So the city of Bloomington, that unit of government, is the beneficiary of 90% of the money. The other 10% goes to county government, and the county government all along has not had to commit its portion of the food and beverage tax to the convention center expansion, so they can use their 10% for whatever
tourism
economic
yeah.
development opportunities that they want to. You know, trails and parks and things like that are some potential opportunities there that the county's looking at. But the city all along has committed its full share, that 90% of the total funding will go to the expanded convention center project. Now, the innkeeper's tax is a little bit different because that's controlled entirely. It's collected by the county and controlled by the county. So the city doesn't get any of that. But it does fund the management and operations of the existing convention center, as well as a portion of that money also funds Visit Bloomington, the destination marketing organization here that Mike McAfee runs and his team to make Bloomington and Monroe County market our community as a place where people want to come and visit and spend their dollars. That will help our businesses. So they serve a very important function in the economic development community here in Monroe County, and so some of that innkeeper's dollars go to support that work that they do.
Eric Spoonmore is the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. He's also the treasurer of the CIB, which is putting together the convention center project. Okay, so what are we going to buy? Where are we going to put it? All this stuff is the final cost is never going to be the final cost, but we're looking at a ballpark number. But we have a good idea of where everything's going to go, and we also need a hotel partner.
That's right. And, you know, we've got RFPs out for a potential partner hotel that would kind of anchor on to the convention center, which is going to be a necessary component of this. So we're very excited to see what hoteliers out there, and this is a kind of a nationwide search that we're undertaking on this to see who would be the best partner. And I know we've received a number of responses to that. I don't have the exact number handy, but there has been a lot of interest, and that's great. You know, that tells us that there is a real market for what we're doing here, and that's what we all wanted to see. And so I know we're all going to be very interested once that deadline comes up to see who all has submitted their interest for being a hotel partner. The expanded center itself, the new expansion, is looking to be about 60,000 square feet of expanded convention space that will be located across College Avenue from the existing convention center, where the old Napa Auto Parts, where they do some election work over there now. The county owns that building. But that whole vacant space there is where the new center will be constructed. And so that kind of puts it squarely between Walnut and College, has a nice linear connection to the existing convention center across College. And so yeah, we're really excited to see how all that's going to shape up. And, of course, we're working with the architects in the design phase, and that'll be quite a process that we go through, and it takes several months to get the final design done. But I think it's going to be, a great asset to downtown, especially in a part of our downtown that's really, desperately in need of some redevelopment and reimagination. And so for us to be able to now have this new convention district that connects with our downtown, I think will be just fantastic for our local businesses. I think it's going to provide a lot of opportunities for our artist communities as more visitors are coming in and checking out galleries and supporting our artists here. There'll be a lot of opportunities for new businesses to get started as people take risks and kind of find their entrepreneurial spirit there and with the influx of new visitors and conventions happening. So it's all very exciting. We're going to see some really positive changes in that part of our downtown coming here soon.
Eric Spoonmore is our guest, CIB Treasurer and the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce President and CEO. We'd love everybody to hitch a ride, grab a bike, cruise down here from the airport, but people are going to drive cars. You're going to have to park them somewhere. Do we have enough current parking in Bloomington, or is that something we are looking to add in the future as well if we are going to bring in more and more people?
Well, parking is always a a very interesting discussion here in Bloomington. And, this project, as far as the Capital Improvement Board is concerned, we are not asking to construct a new parking facility with this project. We've got the 4th Street Garage. And one of the nice things, and it was very intentional when we made the decision to locate the expanded facility between College and Walnut there, is that it will be able to much better leverage the 4th Street Garage. And so we can connect with that much better with that eastward expansion than any other expansion direction that we were looking at before. So we know that there's some additional capacity in the 4th Street Garage that we'll be able to utilize. And then we're also a part of the hotel partnership, is that the hotel will construct a parking facility that will be able to accommodate some convention travelers as well, too. And so between those options, I think that we're going to be just fine as it relates to parking, and we won't have a need for a brand-new, publicly owned parking facility. And there'll probably still be some surrounding surface parking as well, too. But you're right, there's going to be, with more people comes more traffic, and we need to be able to manage that the best that we can here in the community. And I know that there's all kinds of options on the table as well, too, including what I think is really cool, kind of like a downtown circulator that would be able to pick people up from the convention center and run continuously throughout the downtown, where people wouldn't have to drive their cars to go visit restaurants or shops and things like that. And you see this in a lot of communities, and it works very well. And so I think that's something that we need to be thinking about as well, too, is how are we most responsibly managing the influx of traffic and parking and all of that as it relates to this project.
And the other part of this always, when it's taken this long to get together, there are still groups and factions of people that believe this is not a good idea. Why is that why can't we make them see the light, do you think?
It's
their perspective, yeah. But the selling point is the taxes that are brought in by this are brought in by, yes, the people that live here in Bloomington, because when we go out to eat, I get that, but it's funded by filling up with convention folks. But people just think this won't work? I'm confused.
Yeah, I think there is a philosophy that, if the private sector doesn't initiate these types of enterprises on their own, then it's not a good thing for government to get involved. So, we've seen so many examples of the economic impact, the positive economic impact that, convention and conference facilities have provided for numerous cities and towns in Indiana and across the country. I mean, if you look at Indianapolis, for example, a huge reason for the growth that they've experienced over the last several decades is because of their convention. It's the number one convention destination in America. They're on their sixth expansion of their convention center that they initially constructed back in the 70s. So it's been a wild success for them. Fort Wayne is another one. The Grand Wayne Center has totally transformed the downtown and provided a tremendous amount of new tax dollars and revenues to the city of Fort Wayne. Evansville is going through a resurgence. Terre Haute, with what they're doing out there, is having a resurgence. French Lick, you know, that convent, they're doing a lot of conventions down there now, and it's been just extraordinary for Orange County. You ask anybody in Orange County, is it better now versus 30 years ago? And I think you'll hear from an economic development standpoint that, yes, things have really taken off in that part of the state that was otherwise pretty suppressed and depressed not too long ago, before a lot of these investments and risks that people made in those areas. So we're really excited about this. You know, in Indiana, we have to remember that there's only a few ways that the state legislature allows us to raise tax revenue. And so we're becoming increasingly dependent on local income taxes to fund government services. But there's a cap that the state allows localities to charge raise for income taxes. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that government needs to have carte blanche on the ability to raise taxes, but we also have limitations and constitutional limitations on how much government can raise in property taxes. And so you have to get kind of creative in being able to generate new sources of revenue to fund the services that we need here, that contribute to our quality of life and contribute to the health of our community. And those services are always changing and evolving, and so we have to be able to adapt to that and find ways to fund them, given the constraints that we're working with in the state of Indiana. Now, some other states out there have a lot more flexibility, their cities and towns, in being able to generate tax revenue at the local level. We, unfortunately, are much more constrained here, and so this gives us this convention center. Thankfully, we have the ability to construct it through a food and beverage tax that the state authorized, and so we need to leverage that as much as possible, I think, to be able to get more tax revenue for local government services. Otherwise, they'll just find ways to, you know, tax your property and tax your income more, and that you know, let's diversify, I think, is a good thing.
let us diversify, that's for sure. July is never boring. It's sadly, the 4th of July parade was weathered out. You and Jim Inman Jr. were ready to go, but yeah. Thunder and lightning. Who wants to hear her? Hold my tuba in the thunder and lightning. Nobody, nobody wants to do. To take those chances. Sadly, with all the organization that goes into that, you can't just copy and paste a new date. So unlucky, we'll move on. Speaking of good things happening downtown, Friday and Saturday, free parking on the meters after 5 o'clock. Took me a few blocks to find somewhere close. Looks like that's working. How encouraging was that to hear from City Hall?
Well, I tell you what, I think it's great. And, you know, I've talked to numerous downtown businesses and members who are really pleased to see the city administration working on ways that will allow people to better support our downtown businesses, our local businesses here that you know, are a little bit slower during the summertime. And so this is a step in the right direction, I think, and a very welcome gesture from the city. We really appreciate that. And so that's wonderful to see. Yeah, and it was a big bummer on the 4th of July parade. Certainly, I think it was the right call. We saw the forecast coming, and the hazardous weather that was on the way, and it's just not worth taking the risk at that point. But yeah, me and Jim were looking forward to being up there on the stage, and the chamber had a float that we were ready to enter this year, and it was going to be a lot of fun, but it'll make next year even better. I can't remember the last time that a 4th of July parade was rained out.
Yeah,
so
me neither.
We were bound to have that happen at some point, but looking forward to next year too.
And you're looking forward to this week. You've got a big business after hours coming up on Thursday for Chamber members at a special place too.
It is Cancer Support Communities, South Central Indiana, a great partner here with the Chamber, and they just do so much wonderful work over there. And so we're going to be really excited about our business after hours event. They'll be able to showcase the facility over there. It's off of Liberty Drive on the west side. Parking will actually be at Lee Supply. Parking's kind of limited over there in that area, but Lee Supply has very graciously offered up their parking lot for our members to park over there, and then just it's a very short walk from Lee Supply over to Cancer Support Communities. And
it's going to be 79 degrees, buddy. I'd walk 2 miles.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more temperate, and we're looking forward to that. So it'll be a fun event, and always love doing our business after hours events. If you're a member out there listening and haven't been to one, this will be an extra special one to see exactly all the great work that Cancer Support Communities is doing here in Bloomington and in the region and throughout the state of Indiana. Really, it's a phenomenal organization, and we couldn't be any more happy to partner with them on this Business After Hours event on Thursday.
Awesome, and that's for Chamber members. If you'd like more information, well, that's the easiest way to go. You sign up. You get to be a part of it. You can find
come to our website,
yeah.
Sign up. Yeah, well, or, you know, heck, we've seen a lot of people just show up, you know. It's
they'll sign you up.
Always welcome. Yeah, we'll sign you up. Yeah.
Well, and I get it's over 900 members strong and growing as well. So we've got more to get to. We will get to it later in this month. I know you're busy today. Thanks for squeezing me in. That's awesome. We'll get to things like I didn't want to talk about the jail today. I wanted to talk about all the good things that are going on but it all kind of ties in together when it's all said and done. And I know that Sheriff Marte made a big presentation. I'll hear from Marty Hawk on that on Wednesday, so that's always good. So have a great business after hours. We'll get caught up with you before the month is out because we've got nominations to get to. You've got an annual meeting coming. There's 100,000 things we got to do.
Oh yeah, lots going on. We got the big web awards coming up as well too, so that'll be in August. And yeah, lots of momentum going here at the Chamber, lots of momentum in the community. So always a pleasure to catch up with you, Glass, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
We will get caught up down the road, my friend. All right, stay cool today. Grab an umbrella maybe for tomorrow, definitely Wednesday, and then enjoy the return to spring in the middle of July, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, Glass. Take care.